This is the Second Chance at Health podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Brad Hassick. Come join me as we remove confusion from the hottest health topics by discussing the latest research, along with what we've seen with thousands of our patients and amongst our community, family, friends, and people all over the nation and world. Let's dig in. Hey, this is Dr. Brad Hassick with the Second Chance at Health podcast. On today's episode, we are going to be talking about a big one. We're going to talk about diet and nutrition. This is probably in practice after pain, the second most common thing that I discuss with patients, that patients have questions about, that friends have questions about. I get together with friends and family. People want to pick my brain about things that I've learned, research that I've read, things that I've applied for myself and with patients. So we're going to go over a lot of those different thoughts today. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20 states, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." How appropriate with Easter coming up that we're talking about with our bodies. Our body's a temple, but it's not our own. We're glorifying God with what we do, in addition to hopefully wanting to be healthy and not just survive, but thrive. Nutrition for healthy living is what I'm going to talk about with this. You know, diet, people go on diets, instead of thinking of it as a set point, let's think of it more as kind of a journey, you know, having a diet, having things, having guidelines. I'm not going to say you have to do any certain ones, although at the end, I will share the diet that I've been following with great success, has helped a lot with inflammation, digestive issues. Yes, you do lose weight, fat loss, energy, all of that. It's allergies. It's been terrific. So I'll share that at the end. So hang in for that. You know, the problems with our modern diet, many things that we've heard before, but the modern diet is inflammatory by nature. Eating so much processed food and sugar, it leads to things like food sensitivities. The other thing is we're starting to see a lot more metabolic disease. You're seeing insulin resistance, blood sugar issues. You see things, digestive disorders, thyroid problems, hormone imbalances, weight challenges, sleeping difficulty, stress, anxiety. And like I said, weight is going to be a big one. You also see different types of diseases. Type 2 diabetes is growing astronomically and sad, and it's controllable in most cases. Heart disease, cognitive issues, things like dementia and Alzheimer's are just sad. It's ravaging our society. Then you see the different types of cancers. Our diet is feeding a lot of these things, and a lot of times triggering things that are laying dormant in our system. What we're putting into our bodies is—it's almost like turning on a switch for things. So we want to turn those switches off and even help fight those things. So the solutions to this is going to be the reverse of a lot of what I was saying. Is eat number one, eat less processed foods. You know, if it's coming out of a bag, if it's quick, convenient, you know, processed foods, fast foods. I've seen people in different types of diets even where it's lower calorie, but it's processed food. And I'm sorry, that's not healthy. It's just not. If it's something you do for a temporary period of time to limit calories because you've got calorie issues, but it's if you're eating processed foods, it's not healthy. And so we need to look at those things and look at healthier alternatives. Number one thing that I tell patients then, in addition to either reducing or trying to eliminate, I'm not saying you can't, you know, have some Doritos here or there, but boy, processed food, inflammation from the fats in there, food coloring, there's a whole host of problems with it. Just reduce, have that be more of a treat type of thing. So eat less processed foods, decrease sugar. If I can give you advice on things, decrease sugar, wheat, gluten, and dairy. Everyone. Those are going to be the number one top inflammatory things, the things that are going to irritate people, digestive problems, sinus issues, allergies, food allergies, all of those. So decrease those before we even get into specific types of diets to follow. If you can at least decrease those things, and maybe it's just have, you know, start off, hey, I'm just going to have that one meal a day that I'll have processed food, or one meal, you know, if you're having 3 meals a day doing that or more, maybe, you know, just start to have one less meal a day. And then maybe you just have that one meal a day. And then pretty soon, hopefully you're just having that maybe once a week, something that you're having those types of foods. Once again, think of it more as a treat. There's nothing wrong with, you know, that sitting down having birthday cake with your family. But if you're eating that type of thing all the time, that's going to lead to those chronic types of metabolic diseases, inflammation in your body. And your body is going to express that with different types of disease. It just is. Some of the different types of diets that I've seen that I'm a fan of, I don't ever tell patients there's one diet that you have to get on. The best diet for any particular person is something that you'll follow. You don't have to be perfect. Get this in. I know a lot of people say that they like some of my different phrases. Here's your takeaway. Be consistent. You don't have to be perfect with any particular diet. Just be consistent. Do it as well as you can. Once again, gets back to the do it 90% of the time, follow 90% of the diet, and you'll get 90% great results with that. That's pretty darn good. Paleo is a diet. I think that's a pretty solid diet when you're looking at trying to decrease inflammation. There's going to be pros and cons to all these things. So I know, please feel free in the comments. Leave me comments. Let me know what diets you're using, what you found, what's worked, what hasn't worked. I've tried a lot of different things over the years to see. Paleo is a pretty good one. It's probably allows maybe a little bit more sugar than what I personally prefer. But that's a good place to start. Mediterranean is another good diet. Keto is a good diet. Now, the only thing with keto that I've seen over the years, it used to be, you know, in Atkins, when we go back a little bit further, a lot of this stuff isn't new. It's been recycled over the years. The thing now is so many, when you start to see your big companies producing and it's readily available and it's processed, some of these different keto items, and I've fallen prey to this type of thing, throwing in a bunch of sugar alcohols, throwing in a lot of, if you see long ingredient lists and they're trying to avoid that, that's the only danger I say with keto right now is that it's so easy to follow things that you can say, technically this was keto because the label says keto, that you can say, hey, I'm doing this. It got to the point for me when I was adding a lot of those different things that I just didn't feel good. I know I had Lori, my wife, people were asking, you know, is Brad okay? Is Dr. Brad okay? Is he sick? You know, I mean, I think people thought, you know, do I have cancer? Do I have something? You know, it's just, you can tell people sometimes that are on keto where they don't look as healthy. They look thin, but they don't look as healthy. So that's just something to consider. I don't want to beat that up because I think for some people, especially people with different insulin issues, there's some really good research with a ketogenic diet and different cancers with different cognitive issues. So there's some time and place for that for sure, but you definitely got to be a lot more strict, and you can't bring in a lot of the processed products that you see in the grocery store to follow that one. Enough on keto. Blood type diet, that's another one. That's interesting. I don't know. There's not a ton of research to support that. You know, I know I'm a type O, meat and potatoes. That's one for me. I like that. My body tends to do pretty well on that. That's something that I've followed and I tend to feel pretty well on that. So that's something else. Pick something and stick with it to get back to the consistency. If you're going to go higher fat, then you're going to need to be lower carbohydrates. If you're going to have more carbohydrates, you're going to need to be lower fat. Just don't get to the point where you're combining all of those things together, because that's your fats and your carbohydrates. You've got to be really careful. Those two things, they're almost kind of competing with each other. Kind of pick one way that you're going to go, see how your body feels, and maybe something that you kind of switch occasionally back and forth, so you're having a little bit of variety with things. Intermittent fasting, that's another. It's not a particular diet. There's a lot of great benefits and a lot of really good research on intermittent fasting and the benefits to that. Some of the benefits, weight and fat loss, improved insulin sensitivity. Insulin is going to be, think of insulin as the key that unlocks the cell to allow energy to get in. You know, it allows blood sugar. It's going to allow the nutrients and the energy to get into the cell, and insulin allows that to happen. So we've got to have insulin functioning properly. A lot of times in chronic types of metabolic disease, you're going to see insulin be low. We see that in our functional medicine patients, very common that we're going to see, especially with non-fasting, insulin levels are going to tend to be low in chronic types of disease states. So those people, they're going to be fatigued, they're going to be exhausted, and because they're not getting the nutrients from the food. Not only are they not digesting it, but it's not getting absorbed into the cells the way that it should be. So intermittent fasting will help with that, will help with the insulin sensitivity. Cellular repair and autophagy. Autophagy is the bad parts of the cell are being removed. It's helping kind of take out the bad, the old stuff. It's helping get rid of that so that your body's constantly renewing itself and improving. And that's gonna rapidly help with that process. Intermittent fasting helps with heart health, decreases blood pressure, decreases cholesterol levels, triglycerides. It improves brain cognitive function. Which is great when we're seeing all the cognitive issues with things like dementia and Alzheimer's. It's going to increase your lifespan and decrease age-related disease, and we all can see this. You know, you want to, when you kind of look at a time continuum, the goal would rather be, instead of dying from disease, you'd rather die from depletion. Your body, you've lived a great life, and your body's just done. That's all it has. That's physically the limitations of matter. That's what it can do. That's the goal, and not to suffer at the end and have loved ones watch you suffer because of disease process of stuff that you could have prevented. Not, you know, obviously not everything is, but man, let's do everything we can for ourselves, for our family, our next generation with that. And also potential intermittent fasting, potential cancer benefits. Once again, if you're getting with that autophagy, you're getting rid of some of those malfunctioning cells in your body. Those are going to be the things, the cancer cells, the things that aren't functioning properly. That's going to be some of the stuff that's going to trigger and lead to certain types of cancer. So if we can replace those things with healthier cells, hopefully we can decrease some of the incidence of cancer. So those are some of the benefits. You know, I'm also a big fan of just fasting in general. You know, something you do need to talk to your doctor about. There's different types of juice fast, and even, you know, I love even a good water fast. With that, you know, kind of work your way up. You know, a 3-day, I've done that numerous times, where, you know, I'm drinking water, you know, might be for a day, 2 days, 3 days. I think I've done it up to 4 or 5 days before. So that's something, you know, if you're looking to get that route, get some more information. I'll do another episode on fasting so that we can go over some of the different rules, but still always consult your physician. Make sure that it's something healthy for you along with all of these diets. If you've got any questions, I'm giving you as much information, you know, to kind of guide you on things, but still make sure that it's the right choice for you. Speak with your doctor about that. You know, on that note, that's, you know, I see a lot. I've got friends, family all over the country, and I love nutrition. I've been passionate about nutrition for years. You know, I've spoken about that on prior podcasts. You know, started with, you know, working out, you know, when I was young, and you know, just it, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the way that it made me feel, and studying and learning. You know, back it's so much easier now. There's so much better information, better products. You just have to look. You do have to, you know, pay a little more for some stuff. You know, you're trying to get, you know, with proteins and things, grass-fed, you know, cattle and things that whey proteins, things like that. Back in the day, I remember some of our weight gainers, it was little more than a cake mix with some protein added in it. It was quite frankly, it was terrible. But, you know, it was a learning process, and I guess that's how you gain wisdom by having some things that weren't as great. So, but there's so many different things. One of the things I've learned within the last year that I've kind of been passionate about, and here it is. Here's the current diet that I've been on, is the carnivore diet. Absolutely love it. I love the way that it's made me feel. There's so many benefits to this. Now, it does take a lot of discipline. It's simple, but it's definitely not easy. It is great for weight loss, for sure. I didn't do it for weight loss. I was doing it more for energy. Digestive stuff was a big one. Wasn't absorbing things. Got really frustrated. I felt like I was eating a lot of salads, a lot of lean proteins, a lot of vegetables, and with protein, and I felt terrible. And it was frustrating. I thought, I didn't know at that point, how could I eat healthier than what I'm doing? And I know a lot of people that I speak to are in that same boat. You know, they're trying, you know, you're trying so hard and you think, what can I do? And I'm still suffering. So this is just a thought. Carnivore decreases inflammation. There's less food allergens because of not having plant sources in. There are a lot of, you know, with vegetables, fruits and vegetables, you got to be careful. There's things that we may not process, and they can be inflammatory to us. So it's, you know, it's the old adage of our vegetables are good for us. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. So it's something, this is just something to consider. I'm not saying anyone endorsing it, saying you have to do it. But there's a lot of really good research. There's a lot of great podcasts, a lot of information. I love Dr. Ken Berry. He's got some great videos on YouTube that talks about some of the benefits. Jordan Peterson and his daughter Michaela, they've got some great stories helping with, you know, things, skin issues, psoriasis, different types of inflammatory conditions. Dr. Anthony Chafee, he's another one that's really good that I enjoy listening to. Tends to be a little bit longer on some of his things, but it's very, very technical, but that one's good. As I mentioned, it helps with inflammation, increases digestion. It's things like IBS and IBD, you know, inflammatory bowel syndrome and disease, thing that's been going on for longer periods of time that have become chronic. You know, you're going to have leaky gut, or you're going to have permeability of the intestines, things that are passing through that should not be. And it's basically creates almost an autoimmune disease type of process in your body. So that really tends to help with that. And it simplifies things by eliminating a lot of the food sensitivities, things that instead of going, what is this that's irritating? I remember having a food sensitivity blood test done. And it was demoralizing to see all the things that I was sensitive to. Pretty much everything I was eating, stuff I'd been eating a lot of, go figure, avocado, Brussels sprouts, different types of lettuces and things, all the spices I was using that I thought was healthy, go figure, I had sensitivity from all those things. So if you're looking at doing carnivore, want you know, kind of some guidance with that, the best thing I'm going to give the best, better, and then, you know, sometimes reality, because the cost of meat right now, it can be expensive, not going to lie. Grass-fed meat would be the best thing in a perfect world. Every meal would have grass-fed meat. You need to get a lot of fat. You know, if you could have a grass-fed ribeye for every meal, that would be ideal, but that's not realistic for most of us. You know, it's with inflation, things are really expensive. A lot of fattier types of ground beef, you know, your 80-20, some of them, you know, even higher fat content meat. You know, I'll look for things that are on sale and say, hey, let's try this. If not, with your steaks, making some of those, I put butter on everything. Butter, ghee, I'm using that. And that tends to some of those things. There's Costco has some fabulous, I think are they Polish Franks, all meat Polish Franks. You know, once again, try and have less processed, less ingredients that are in there, preservatives, things like that. The more natural it is, the better it's going to be. So, you know, eggs are good. You know, the first couple of weeks you want to stick more to red meat. And red meat, butter, salt. You got to get a lot of extra salt with that too. People wonder about, you know, it helps with your immune response. Immune system's been so much better. Recovery's better. Sleep's better. I do workouts. You know, it's like you skip leg day for, you know, a couple weeks or something comes up, you maybe a couple months, and you know you're going to be sore. You don't get sore. When you're following a carnivore diet, I'll do workouts and think, man, I'm going to be, I don't get sore. I'd heard, I think it was Dr. Chafee was talking about this, and he said, I can't believe I don't get sore. And I thought, there is no, you know, here he's a world-class rugby player. You don't, if you're following it fairly strictly, and you have heavy, hard workouts, you don't get as sore. You feel a lot better. You recover a lot faster. You sleep a lot better with that. So you can add things, you know, obviously, you know, bacon, the less, you know, the less pork, the less dairy. I was losing too much weight. That wasn't really my goal. And so I had to start adding in, it was heavy cream was something. I was trying to get organic. If you can get grass-fed, heavy cream, that's something, you know, spend some money on that if you're going to put it somewhere. I was adding that to coffee, bulletproof coffee, instead of putting the coconut oil in. Once again, that was something, man, I've done the MCT oil, done it for years. And that was something that I think potentially could have been inflammatory to me. And so I would add ghee or grass-fed butter, and then some heavy cream just to get more calories. Once I started doing that, weight stabilized, you know, about where I wanted with that, and felt a lot better. So that's just a, you know, carnivore. That's like I said, that's just something I'm doing right now. I'm not endorsing it. I'm not saying you have to do it. I've given you some other different options, suggestions. Bare minimum, like I said, decrease your processed food, decrease or try and eliminate, you know, as much as you can, sugar, wheat, gluten, dairy. Those are going to be your biggest things. Maybe take one at a time. You don't have to do all this at once. Just be consistent with this. So I hope that this has given you some different ideas, some different options, some guidance with nutrition, creating a diet, having a diet. Definitely have some cheat meals. I know it's been almost a year that I've been doing carnivore. And over the holidays, absolutely not. I had everything I wanted to have. My kids laugh at me for Halloween. You know, I'm pretty good about that. I don't crave sugar. Sugar, alcohol, that's another thing. You know, anyone struggling with alcohol, once again, that's going to be another episode. Definitely cravings for that go way down. It's just not there. Your body's, because your blood sugar is a lot more stable, so you're not going to be craving certain things. So, but at Halloween, there's definitely, here's a list of the mini candy bars I want. I'm going to have all of them that day, and then I'm done. So they kind of laugh about that, but I guess it's an all or nothing type of thing. But hey, one day out of the year, I figure that's not too bad. You gotta live a little. So enjoy the times, enjoy food, enjoy with family, with friends. You know, I want you to have that, but we need to be a lot more consistent. We need to put some effort into this. And I think if you'll make some of these changes and be consistent with it, I think you're going to find that you're going to feel better. You're going to look better. You're going to sleep better. You're going to have more energy. You're just going to have a lot more vitality. So let me know what you're doing. Let me know if it works. Please share this with anyone that you think might find this beneficial. And we will have more episodes coming in the future on different health topics. Take care.